It's time to talk sport. Chris McCarty is with us and in the studio right now. Hello, Chris.
Very good afternoon to you, Claire. Very good afternoon to you, Sally. And, of course, a very good afternoon to the listeners. It's a busy old day in sport, and it's cricket. It's cricket that's dominating.
I do want to start with cricket because the England batsmen coming in for some stick from all directions, really, including a lot of former players, that they don't respect test matches.
Indeed, yes. Michael Vaughan, the former England skipper, scathing was hit with his assessment of England's defeat yesterday to South Africa, a chastening 340-run defeat to the Proteas over at Trent Bridge. And Michael Vaughan coming out afterwards on a test match special to say that he doesn't feel that the batsmen respect test cricket. Joe Root, the new England skipper, hitting back at Michael Vaughan, saying that he was surprised and that is wholly unfair to say those comments about his batsmen. No question though, Claire, one or two individuals struggling and struggling badly in the test environment.
It's as if they think that they're in a very long 2020 match. Is that what the accusation is? That they're not playing defensively enough when they need to?
They're not being smart, I think, is what Michael Vaughan is saying, because we do know in test conditions, in the test arena, sometimes you're maybe not playing at your best, you're swashbuckling best, but you got to be gritty, you got to dig in, is a few of the kind of buzzwords that are often used. Certainly Geoffrey Boycott would be using those phrases, because sometimes test cricket doesn't go the way that you want it to go. And I know Joe Root wants to play this new brand of attacking aggressive cricket with England, but he's learning on the job. England will take stock. They've got 9 days now ahead of that third test, and they, I'm sure, will be better. They have to be better, because if they're not, there will be an awful lot more question marks put into the direction of not only Joe Root, the batsman, and the coach Trevor Bayliss.
It'll be interesting to see if they can sort of address that side of their game in that relatively short amount of time, but we'll look forward to that, the third test. While we're talking cricket, let's talk the women's game, because we're at semi-final stage of the World Cup.
We are indeed, yes. The ICC Women's World Cup today sees England, the hosts, taking on South Africa. Tomorrow we see the defending champions Australia. They take on India. I can tell you the first innings for South Africa has just been completed. They won the toss earlier today. They elected to bat. They have scored a meagre, I think, 218 for 6, when you consider that England actually beat South Africa in the pool stage by 68 runs on that occasion. South Africa, I think, made 309. England totalling up 373 then. So you'd make England favourites. I'm not quite sure of the conditions, but if they can score 219 from their allotted 50 overs, they will book their place in Sunday's final. All eyes, of course, will be on Australia, India tomorrow, but for this afternoon, England have got it all to do.
How popular is the women's game in cricket, Chris? Because I've got to admit, I've not really been following it until now, and I've started to keep an eye on it now, because I think the media is covering it,
yes,
more, so I'm seeing the fixtures, I'm seeing the results. The BBC has, to be fair, been on it the whole time covering it, but I've not seen it in a lot of other places. How much interest is there
I think there is. It depends which country you come from, I guess, and which country you hail from. I think the BBC over there in the UK are doing a fine job in promoting. And let's not forget, though, it is a tournament that's been held in Britain.
Absolutely.
And it also helps that England are pretty good when it comes to women's cricket. So those two things, huge ticks in the boxes there. But certainly the attendances have been good. And that's one thing I would say about the British in terms of their sport. We do love our sport. It's got to be said.
Yeah, we'll go to anything.
We will generally go to everything. If the sun is shining, then we do tend to get out there and support our own. And I think that's been fantastic to see. But I just think women's sport in general, we saw in Canada, didn't we, the Football World Cup, hugely supported as well. And finally, these ladies are being given the column inches that they deserve, being given the praise, because they're producing some wonderful performances, and no doubt about it. I've been keeping an eye on the ICC Women's World Cup over the past few weeks, and some of the displays, not only from teams but from individuals, has been right up there.
Now, let's move on to transfer news, into football now. And what is going on? Have Juventus turned down Chelsea's £88 million
That's
offer?
One of the reports for Gonzalo Higuain.
Yes.
That's what I'm reading this morning as well. Of course, it is silly season. It is the gift that keeps on giving, is the football transfer window, because there's so many stories to keep a very close eye on. But yes, one report out of Italy has suggested that Chelsea have made a bid for Gonzalo Higuain, which I find rather bizarre given the fact that Juventus only signed him 12 months ago from Napoli. I can tell you Arsene Wenger has been speaking in the last couple of hours down in Australia. He has categorically said that Alexis Sanchez is going nowhere. Some fascinating quotes coming out from the Frenchman. And I think you've got to agree. I've got to say, I applaud him for what he is saying, because Alexis Sanchez this past week has said that he's keen to leave Arsenal in pursuit of Champions League football. Now, Arsene Wenger is pointing out that Arsenal, up until this coming season, have been in the Champions League for 20 years, 17 with which out with Alexis Sanchez, 3 years with Alexis Sanchez. And his message to the Chilean is, it's your job to get us back there. You're going nowhere. We're keeping you until you see out your contract. So watch that one with interest. If a club bids 50, 60 million, it may change things. But Arsene Wenger is digging in.
How much of a challenge, though, is that for any manager when a player has expressed publicly, either leaked or otherwise, that he really would like to go somewhere else? And then you say, I mean, because I'm thinking of Eric Dier as well, who apparently has said he'd quite like to go to United, but Spurs say not going anywhere. That's a challenge then, to get the best out of that player next season.
Undoubtedly, it is arguably the most challenging, I think certainly one of the most challenging parts of the job for a football manager, because you've got to try and keep that player, get that player back on side. You've got to try and keep the changing room on side, because there'll be one or two of those players looking at Alexis Sanchez now and thinking, well, if you don't want to be here, jog on. And I think you go back to a few years ago when Wayne Rooney held Manchester United to ransom, when he said, you know what, I question your ambition, was flirting with Manchester City, Sir Alex Ferguson. Thankfully, the will of that man, he brought Wayne Rooney and said, this is not good enough. And he got him back on side and, of course, produced some match-winning performances for Fergie as they went on to win a couple of more titles. But each manager to their own. But yeah, it's a huge, huge task now for Arsene Wenger, not only to convince Alexis Sanchez that the challenge moving forward, he would be better suited staying at the Emirates, but also ensuring that Alexis Sanchez doesn't alienate himself from the other players at Arsenal Football Club. Because if he does that, then his position almost becomes untenable. You've almost got to cash in, because any bad blood in the dressing room can permeate in onto the pitch come a Saturday afternoon.
I guess this is where the manager earns his money. A couple of messages coming in, Chris, on the things we've been talking about. Raj says, good evening, guys. England succumbed, this is talking on the cricket, because of poor temperament, nothing else. In fact, it happens to many sides because of all the T20s that are being played.
Yeah, Raj makes a very good point. We are seeing, I guess, Test cricket in a bit of a state of flux right now, because T20 cricket is played so often and is that swashbuckling, wham-bam, kind of thank you ma'am kind of style, that Test cricket is being affected. We're seeing an awful lot of more matches now finishing up inside 3 days, 4 days, whereas before, you know, the consistency, the temperament to go out there and bat out long periods, that is changing, because the game of cricket as we know it, or certainly as I was brought up with, it's changing in front of our very eyes.
And another one here from Daniel, who says, don't criticise the Englishmen. The South Africans are simply magnificent.
Yeah, great win. And you've got to give, let's give full credit to Faf du Plessis and his men. I thought Vernon Philander was man of the match. What was it, 5 wickets across the 2 innings? I think he scored 96 as well. And he was likened by du Plessis to the famous, the great Jacques Callis. High praise indeed. So take nothing away. Let's not do that for South Africa. They were excellent from start to finish. However, England, we expect better. A capitulation in their second innings, just 133. Only Alistair Cook, who I think added 42, really offered any resistance. There is big question marks of Keating Jennings, huge question marks. We've interviewed Gary Balance in the past. For me, a question whether he is up to international, the rigours of international cricket. So England have got a lot of soul searching to do. I know Michael Vaughan today has come out defending both Jennings and Balance, but Haseeb Hameed, I think we've got to start looking to him, despite the fact he's had quite a poor county cricket season thus far. But of course, he was given a chance in India, acquitted himself very well. He is still a young boy or young man at 19 years of age, and maybe, just maybe, England need to look at some of these youngsters to blood them in now, because the guys who are in possession of the jersey are not up to scratch.
Yeah, and Chris, it's almost time again for the big sports quiz.
It is indeed, yes. We'll be down there tomorrow evening. It is the big quiz with Sports Tonight down at Barasti. Week 2, if you didn't get on down there last Wednesday, fear not, because it will be your 3 scores, your biggest 3 scores, accumulative, will be added. You obviously are rewarded for coming down every single week, but the big prize, we've been talking about it for the past few weeks, an all-expenses-paid trip to the Malaysian Grand Prix. That is awarded to the team that at the end of the 8 weeks on August 30th have accumulated the most points. So you got to be in it
to
win it.
Such a good prize.
It is unreal.
Yeah.
And there are weekly prizes as well. There's various brunch vouchers to be won for the winning teams. There's drink vouchers as well. So it is a great night. We had 18 teams last week. Fingers crossed we get over the 20 barrier this Wednesday. And if we do that, the bosses are happy, Barasti are happy, and I'm happy as well.
And you had great fun last week because you and Natalie Lindo-Taylor, who helps you out down there, came in and tested some of the questions on us. They were tough.
They are.
We also talked about the fact that cheating on mobile phones won't be tolerated.
Absolutely not, no. We've got the mobile police out this coming Wednesday. We try and, because it's such a good prize, we want to reward those who are genuine, those that love a quiz and who take part in, and you know, be sporting, I think is the word to use. And we will have one or two individuals, plain clothed detectives, will be out there keeping an eye on everyone tomorrow evening. But it is a great night, 8 till 10 down at Barasti. I do implore you all to come down, and I will be hosting alongside Natalie once again tomorrow evening, doing that for the next couple of weeks before Robbie comes back, and then it's his turn to pop on down.
You'll miss it, I'm sure. You were buzzing the next day.
I was, to be fair. It was great. It really was. And it's a great sporting quiz, and as you rightly say, Claire, perfect balance between some easy, some hard. We get you involved. There's an interactive round, a video round as well, so it's a good laugh. It's a good way to spend a couple of hours.
Good stuff. Tomorrow night, join Chris at Barasti. Before we let you go, Chris, time for the lost word.
The lost word.
You can now wear clothing made from...
Ooh. I love this. Usually I know the story because Tim's here and I do the reveal and I don't know the story. It's great.
Mm-hmm. You can now wear clothes.
I'll just play that for everyone one more time.
The lost word.
You can now wear clothing made from...
Made from what? Made from paper.
Made from paper. Okay, that's Chris's answers. You can answer. You can now wear clothing made from beep. Send yours 4001.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's Drive Live. I'm just going to give everyone another chance on the lost word, Sally, because we've got a few coming in. Let's see if anybody else can think of one. Here it is.
The lost word.
You can now wear clothing made from...
You can now wear clothing made from what?
And it's a good one.
Some interesting ones coming in. I have no idea of the answer still.
Yeah.
I have some thoughts myself, but we'll get to those.
We'll get to those. We'll give people a couple more minutes to think about their answer.
We will. 4001 if you've got one. Sally, let's squeeze in a story that we didn't get to earlier that the ARN News Centre has been looking at. Employees are hiding IT security incidents in about 53% of businesses here in the UAE. That's according to a new report from Kaspersky Lab and B2B International. Now, if you remember, over the last few weeks, we have reported on a few things from Kaspersky that brought up the fact that most cybersecurity incidents, or many of them, start with an employee somehow. Well, this study found that 26% of the targeted attacks on UAE businesses in the last year involved phishing, where unsuspecting employees unintentionally exposed internal company data to hackers by opening attachments or with emails that they shouldn't have opened. You know, you get that those dodgy look. You know, you should never click on the attachment, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, people are. But the research also showed that unaware and careless employees were causing these malware infections in 55% of instances in the UAE, but they weren't admitting it. Because they probably felt foolish, because we sort of know that we shouldn't, but sometimes you can't help yourself.
And you think, oh, I've really done it now. And you don't know how big the damage is going to be. And you think, oh, I wonder. If, oh, you try to hide it.
You try to sweep it under the carpet, but it's not possible, apparently. 57% of companies surveyed in the UAE admitted that staff was the biggest weakness in their IT security and admitted that they needed to implement personnel-focused measures to improve security. David M., who's principal security researcher at Kaspersky Lab, explains how company policies may be contributing to the issue.
We're not very good at patching human vulnerabilities. We patch digital resources, we apply security updates, but we don't really find imaginative ways of making sure that our human assets are resilient to social engineering, to phishing attacks, so on. Businesses set out a very detailed policy document. They have very rigid enforcement, which means that staff get very worried about making mistakes and therefore they want to cover them up.
David M. there from Kaspersky Lab, Sally, saying that people cover it up because they're scared of the repercussions, because I think probably most companies would have at least at one time or another warned their employees. Now, it's kind of, there's a lot of publicity about these phishing scams.
And we've had, you know, massive malware attacks that
exactly.
have affected so many companies and government organizations as well. So you think, I think the more awareness we get, the more people get scared if they do something wrong, that they should hide it. But I think it should be the other way around. If you make a mistake, speak up immediately so that hopefully whatever it is can be, you know, contained, sorted out as quickly as possible. And so hopefully there's not too much damage because, you know, at the end of the day, it is human error. We're all human and it does happen. But hopefully with more warnings, people will become smarter about
and
it.
And you've never done that then, Sally? Opened an attachment, realised it was a virus and thought, I'm not admitting that, I'm legging it.
I haven't, thankfully. I think you get the idea. You see when something looks weird and hopefully you've installed all of the security updates on your computer so that it doesn't, you know, get in if there is an issue at all.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would also report it. But apparently employees not always doing that and they're hiding it in 53% of businesses surveyed here in the UAE. That's according to Kaspersky. Right, let's find out what that lost word was.
The lost word.
You can now wear clothing made from...
Made from what? We've had a few entries to this, Sally. Run me through some
good
of them.
So we've got matchsticks, we've got bamboo, fish scales.
Fish scales.
Sean also says bamboo. The first bamboo was from Tarek. Dried banana skins. Thanks, Graham. No, it ain't that. William, you've gone a bit dark on us.
William's gone very dark on us because he says human skin.
Or
human
leather.
Chris McCarty was in earlier. He said paper. And I think Shruti, our producer, said kale. And she's obviously feeling in a very healthy place today.
None of the above, I'm happy to say. Nobody got it right. You can now get clothing that's made from mushrooms.
Really?
Really.
Are they still alive and growing? You wear it basically wearing a cloak made of fungi.
Let me explain. So it's interesting because Bentley Motors announced that it was developing interiors for its vegan millionaire customers at the Future of the Car Summit back in May. And it nudged the term mushroom leather. Okay. And it's otherwise known as muskin, a term that was coined by Italian textile developer Grado Zero eSpace. And it's a leather-like material made from spores extracted from the upper button or the hat of a mushroom.
Yeah. Are any mushrooms hurt in the process?
I imagine that they'd be very much hurt in the process. But, you know, the whole idea behind it is to stop us from using animal skins. So that is the whole idea behind it. Notably, Stella McCartney, she presented her autumn-winter collection this year in an alternative suede material that she dubbed skin-free skin. So the British designer, who's of course the daughter of Sir Paul McCartney, said she had avoided using faux leather before because it had never looked luxurious enough. And apparently you can do this with mushrooms.
And was her suede fashion made of mushrooms?
Yes, a dress. Yes, she's got a collection of suede mushroom and they're going to put this in Bentley cars. This is happening. You're looking at me like, are you serious?
No, because often because often these stories come from, you know, some weird science experiment somewhere where, you know, in theory you could.
It's
but
happening
you're talking
now.
About Bentley and Stella McCartney. This is happening. This got
is
real.
Happening.
For mushrooms, it's real.
Yep. Yeah. It's processed in the same manner as animal leather, the muskin, but it doesn't require the use of tanning toxins or other chemicals, making it 100% natural. So it's got a lot of different benefits. You don't have to use animal skins or anything like that. So it's a vegetable leather that's hygienic, versatile, and breathable, and repels water, resists bacteria, making it suitable for close skin-to-skin wear.
Sounds amazing. Look out for that one. You can now wear clothes made of mushrooms. Right, plenty more to come up on Drive Live this evening. We'll shortly be talking, the world of work and our regular Career Connect session. So get your questions and thoughts in now on that one, 4001. It's coming up next.